You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Make sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton. You can find him at Misto Christopho. If you're looking for tweets from me, look out for anything related to Dwayne Haskins, because today is my Christmas. If you're into anything, you know, about complaining about the Tampa Bay Lightning, or maybe not complaining, maybe tweeting.
We're the best team in the NHL. I'm not complaining.
I don't know. I mean, your bio itself sounds like it's complaining.
It says go Bolts.
It says, I don't currently write for Raw Charge, but
it literally says hashtag go Bolts.
Yeah, whatever. If you want tweets about the Lightning and not the Jags, follow Chris, as well as the Locked On Jaguars handle. Make sure to give them a follow. We've got all our work coming over there, all our podcasts, all our articles coming around. With the Senior Bowl being 2 weeks from today is when we embark. Yes, 2 weeks from today, Monday, the 21st is when we're heading out.
Media day.
No, media day is on Tuesday.
We'll be there 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll be there in 2 weeks, ready to bring as much content as we can. I'm going to have a couple of specific Senior Bowl scouting reports, Twitter threads, and what to watch for articles coming up on Locked On Jaguars, so make sure to check all of that out. But today is quarterback day. Yesterday was the end of the wild card round in the NFL playoffs with two quarterbacks that have been linked to the Jaguars in the past, having some news come out. Nick Foles obviously played pretty well en route to an Eagles win. It wasn't too flashy, but he played well enough and is winning that team games, especially in the playoffs for the second year in a row. And Joe Flacco wasn't winning the Ravens any games. In fact, he wasn't doing anything in any games for the Ravens in the playoffs. So much as so that the head coach of the Ravens, John Harbaugh, pretty much confirmed Flacco will be gone from Baltimore this offseason. So we figured no better thing to talk about than those two guys who are in the news right now, as well as Dwayne Haskins, who I mentioned before. He is in the news right now because he declared for the NFL draft today. Quarterback one is in. So we're going to do a segment on all three quarterbacks, why they should, why they shouldn't, what makes it likely and unlikely as to why they'd come to Jacksonville, because I really think those are the three options that everyone's going to talk about throughout the offseason that are the quote-unquote big names. And we're going to start with Joe Flacco. Flacco missed time due to an injury, missed 7 regular season games. I think it was 3 or 4 games to start from the injury, and then they announced that Lamar Jackson, that is, was going to remain the starter. In that time frame, Lamar Jackson went 6-1. He looked, you know, he had his issues sometimes with passing, as any rookie would. I know Chris isn't as big a fan of Lamar as I am, but there were definitely strengths to his passing game. His run game was completely obvious. It was going to do well, but there were strengths to his passing game in the middle of the field. I'm excited to see him grow, and so are the Ravens, because they stuck with him. And Coach John Harbaugh said after the game, like I said before, you know, Joe is going to have a market. There's going to be a team that takes him because he's got a lot of football left in him. And people have been asking, should it be Jacksonville? Chris, should it be Jacksonville?
No.
I agree, but absolutely why? Not.
He's going to be probably one of the right next to Nick Foles, probably one of the most expensive options on the market, which people are going to overpay. I don't know who, but somebody will overpay because he has a Super Bowl ring. But he is not what the Jaguars need right now. He obviously couldn't get it done in Baltimore this year, even when Lamar was struggling or not struggling. I mean, they literally were down almost 3 scores in a playoff game and they still wouldn't put you in. So that kind of tells you how his own franchise thinks about him. But he's just not what the Jags need right now. I don't even think they might have enough money to get him. And he's just not, he hasn't played very good football. I mean, he's played okay at times, but for the most part, you're not really getting a whole lot with him, and you're going to be paying him Blake Bortles-esque money, maybe even more, for a really expensive stopgap that I'm not sure wins you. Granted, over Blake Bortles might win you a few more games, but is not an answer for a bridge for me.
Now, But that's the thing is, would he wouldn't be brought in as a bridge. There's no way you could pay him the money he wants and make him anything less than the guy for.
Well, I don't want him at. I don't want him as the guy.
But that's what a lot of people are going to debate. And also, you said that they didn't like. It's telling they didn't have the confidence to put him in. I don't think it's that. I think it's that they have dedicated themselves to Lamar Jackson. They game plan around Lamar Jackson. I don't think they have a script sitting there waiting to put Joe Flacco in because they've been, you know, dedicated to making Lamar the starter. They're eight games into his tenure. There wasn't an expectancy that he was going to have to get pulled last night, considering how he played against the Chargers just 2 weeks ago. So I don't think that's as much of something telling as Flacco, whereas, you know, I think they're dedicated to the future Lamar is going to give them, in which case, you know, I don't think his market's going to get hit that much by it. But I do think he's going to demand a lot. I mean, he's saying now that he didn't think that he should have had to go in for Lamar Jackson. He thought that Lamar has been playing well. He's the reason they were back in the game later on. But at the same time, at the start of the year, there was very clearly tension from Joe Flacco when they took Lamar Jackson throughout camp. The reports that he wasn't helping Lamar. He was focused on himself and himself only as the starter. I don't know. I think he's going to demand a ton of money. I think he's a lot better than what he has been the past couple of years. He thinks he is, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, to start this year, he was looking good, was having some solid games. But then after the Pittsburgh game, I don't know if that's when he got hurt, because he still played for another five games after that, but his numbers just drastically drop. So I don't know if that's when he got hurt or whatnot, but a very average year for Joe Flacco, and he's probably going to be commanding 15-plus a year. And if you're the Jaguars, you, one, would have to shift around your cap space even more, which means probably letting guys that you didn't want to go just to get a quarterback who necessarily doesn't probably move the needle a whole lot. It moves it a little bit, but not to the extent that you're going to be paying him for.
Well, that's the thing, is people aren't realizing how much he's going to command, because his cap number next year right now for the Ravens would be $26.5 million, and for them to cut him would be $16 million dead right there pre-June 1st. His base salary his base salary is $18.5 million. So, like, he's not just going to take a sudden downgrade. He agreed to an extension 2 years ago. And people are forgetting that even if the Jags do get rid of Blake Bortles, which I'm assuming they do, the minimum that they could be on the books for this upcoming year is $9.5 million if they cut him after June 1st, $16.5 if it's before. So you're taking on whatever is left of Blake's deal that they owe him, at minimum nearly $10 million. At maximum 21, so long as they were to actually keep him here, which I don't think they would do, on top of whatever Joe Flacco's getting. And you said 15, I think it's going to be 18 plus. Oh, I think he's going to demand that.
Yeah, I don't say rightfully so, but target that. He's going to go high, and there will be a team that will pay him to be that high. I don't know who it would be, because I'm not really sure who in the league has a lot of money that needs a quarterback, but like I said, we're at a weird time in the NFL where not a lot of teams need quarterbacks. So
right,
even have cap?
I think they have an okay amount, and they're moving a lot of guys this offseason. Been reported, Robert Quinn. I think Kiko Alonso, maybe. I think they're supposed to move a couple guys. And also, they're a little further along in Ryan Tannehill's contract that I think they don't have a big dead hit from letting him go. So that could be a spot.
I mean, the Dolphins, slated to have 13.5 next year. So, and I'm pretty sure they still have to extend Xavien Howard, who is going to get some decent CB money. And so, I mean, you have guys that you can, you know, manage.
They have guys that can move, but the thing is that they're also $14 million above where Jacksonville is right now, because Jacksonville's still in the negative. So they do have an upper hand on paying a guy compared to a team like Jackson.
I mean,
no matter what, any team is going to have to move some stuff around to pay him, especially if they're a team that thinks they're close to contending, and they think that Joe Flacco can offer them, get them over that hump. So no matter what, Flacco is going to be expensive, and I personally don't think he's worth it.
Yeah.
Now there's a guy that I know Chris does think is worth it. I am on the fence. Sometimes I think yes, sometimes I think no. His name is Nick Foles. We're going to talk about him when we come back from this quick break. Today's episode of Locked On Jaguars is brought to you by A1 Sliders. Are you one of hundreds of coastal Northeast Florida homeowners who struggle every day to open and close your sliding glass door? Why spend all the money it takes to replace your sliding glass door when Tony and the gang at A1 Sliders could save you money and repair your door for you? A1 Sliders is licensed and insured. They offer free estimates, upfront pricing, and will help you save on heating and cooling costs in your home from leaky sliding glass doors. And at A1, your schedule comes first. A1 Sliders is a fan of the Locked On Jaguars podcast, and in partnering with us, they will give you $25 off of any repair you order, no limit. Just mention Locked On Jaguars before getting your repairs done. Call A1 Sliders now for your free sliding glass door repair estimate at 386-538-6835. Or check out their website at www.a1sliders.com. That's 386-538-6835 and www.a1sliders.com. And don't forget to mention Locked On Jaguars for $25 off of any repair you order. A1 Sliders, licensed and insured, LLC, covers the Jacksonville area from Fernandina Beach through North Smyrna Beach, based out of Palm Coast, Florida. Contact for more details on location and any questions you may have. Chris is a big fan of Nick Foles because he's a big fan of the Eagles and is not a true Jaguars fan. Sad. But, no, I'm kidding. The Eagles are, what, his second or third team?
They're up there. I like rooting for range. Them.
You like rooting for, like, they're fun teams. I don't blame you. I just like to mess with you about it. But, like, the Packers, San Francisco, I'm not going to say one team on air.
San Francisco is more of a George Kittle type thing. You know, you're rooting for the success because it's Kittle, so.
There's a team that I'm not going to say that you like to root for because there would be a lot of upset people that listen to this show, but they rhyme with the Bolts. Get it? Because your favorite.
Oh yeah, Colts. I am very open about that. If you want to roast me for rooting for the Colts, and I won't root for the Colts against the Jags, but I'm a very adamant Andrew Luck fan, so if anybody wants to at me about that, be my guest, but I'll...
I'm an Andrew Luck fan, but I'm not a Colts fan. I don't think there's any possible way you could dislike Andrew Luck. I don't think there's even a way that you can just be on the fence about him. I think he's the most likable
dude in
the
NFL. There's a bunch of guys on the team that I like. And you know, Andrew Luck, Quentin Nelson, T.Y. Hilton, Darius Leonard was a guy, Braden Smith. Just a bunch of young ballers out there. So, I mean, they're a fun team. It's going to be fun to, well, I mean, obviously they're in the division, so you don't want to see them have success against the team, but they are primed for, they have such a good roster right now and an unbelievable amount of cap space. I think I saw yesterday that the Colts could trade for Antonio Brown, pay him his full contract, and sign Le'Veon Bell and give him 20 plus mil guaranteed a year and still have 89 mil. Left over.
Let's go ahead and get back to the subject. But yes, I understand your Colts fandom. But let's get back. We're talking about quarterbacks. Andrew Luck, I wish we could have him. But what about Nick Foles, a guy from one of your favorite teams?
Big Dick Nick.
Bad word alert. We're going to have to do the beep sound over that. Chris, I think you've got the soundboard or getting EDM. It. You can edit that in. Go ahead and add in the little beep there. But Nick Foles is just a huge topic of discussion across the NFL because 2 years in a row, he's filled in for Carson Wentz due to injury. He's come in, he's played great football. He's won the team games, and there's a constant argument as to whether or not the Eagles should keep him or not, whether or not they should trade either him away for capital or Carson Wentz for capital. And I think that I don't think there's any way they'd send Wentz, but that is a debate that happens now a lot in Philly, especially. I've got family that lives in Philly that tells me they hear this on the radio all the time.
If Foles wins the Super Bowl, I think the door opens more for Wentz being traded. It's hard to go against a guy that has won you back-to-back Super Bowls.
I don't disagree, but at the same time, they did send a lot away to get
and you could probably get a lot back for Foles. I mean, if the Jags, well, let's say a different team trades up to 2 or 1 over the Jags, basically eliminating you from getting Haskins. If the Jags traded a first round pick for Nick Foles and basically are committing to him as the guy for the next 6 or so years, I mean, I don't know.
I feel like he can do a lot of the stuff they want.
I mean,
I feel like he's a West Coast oriented type of quarterback.
He's not even 30 yet. So you
can
get.
He's not 30. And he doesn't have a ton of mileage in a sense. I mean, like, he's definitely started for a bit, but, like, he's also been a backup. And
when he has started, he has had problems, except for his second year in Philly when he had 29 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. That was his best year. And then literally he seemed to be traded every offseason after that for a first round pick until he eventually came back to Philly last year, came in for relief when Carson Wentz tore his ACL, won a Super Bowl, started the first 2 years this year, or the first 2 games this year when Wentz was out, played meh football. Week 1, he had 1 interception, 0 touchdowns. Week 2, he had 1 touchdown, 0 interceptions. Just, you know, met offense. The Philadelphia offense was garbage until about halfway through the season. Then they kind of turned it around. Then comes back against the Rams, which at the time had probably one of the best defenses in football. 0 touchdowns, 1 interception. And then he flicked the switch against Houston. 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. 2 touchdowns, 1 interceptions. And then 2-2 against Chicago last night. But all in all, he's 9-1 for the Eagles when filling in for Wentz in the month of December and the playoffs the last 2 years. So does he just have that clutch factor? I'm not sure. Maybe he's kind of like Ryan Fitzpatrick, where in short bursts he gives you that starter material, but then as it goes on, he kind of loses his groove. I'm not sure. The weapons that Philly has for Foles is obviously a debate that people can make because they have – a lot of better weapons. They have two tight ends that would be number one tight ends, both in Ertz, who's a number one tight end in the league, and Dallas Goedert, who the Jags probably should have targeted last year. He would be a number one tight end here. You have guys like Alshon Jeffrey, Golden Tate, who they traded for. The running back room, although it's hurt right now, is pretty decent between Darren Sproles, Wendell Smallwood, Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement. You got guys like that. The offensive line is a damn good unit between Peters. I can't even really think of the offensive line.
Lane Johnson.
Those are two right there, top tackles. So you have a good O line, and then I'm forgetting a wide receiver. I said Jeffrey. I said Tate, and I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm blanking. But anyways, offensively,
Nelson Aguilar.
Yep, that's the guy. So offensively, you have a lot of weapons there. You have a lot to go with. And then you have Doug Peterson, who is a pretty damn good head coach. They took a step down when DeFilippo left. The offensive game obviously took a step back. It, you know, shocked people. I was expecting the Eagles to have a top offense coming in, and they kind of were mid. So that hurt, but I'm sure they've obviously shown that they've turned it around and can start scoring points again. So that's one thing. Foles is in a really good system right now. He's back with the team that drafted him, although it doesn't look at all what it looked like when he was drafted. He's in a good offense right now, at least personnel-wise. So that's the biggest question mark. If the Jags can overhaul their offensive unit when they're getting Nick Foles, then that's the thing. But you can't bring Nick Foles into what we have right now, not change a whole lot, and expect him to succeed like he has been in Philly right now, who he still has in the playoffs.
Now, Nick Foles has a player option that would give him a guaranteed $20 million salary next year with the Eagles. And the Eagles are the ones that can opt into the contract so they please, or they can opt out and let him test the market. I don't think the Jaguars would have to trade for him. That is, unless they were to decide that, hey, we want to open up his market and try and get something for him, or open up Wentz's, but I think they'd probably just do the easier route and see. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be really complicated. I think the easiest way that the Eagles will probably do it is just let him choose what he wants to do. In which case, it comes up to whether or not Jacksonville would pay him, and if so, how much?
Okay. Because
he does have this option.
Quick asterisk. Let's say the Eagles take the option, commit to Foles, and suddenly Wentz has become readily available for trade. Do you sniff at that?
Yes, of course. That's easy. That's the easiest
but
thing.
But what are you giving up? Just off the top of the head, what are you giving up? What would you give up for Carson Wentz right now?
Seventh, and I don't know. Maybe the second round pick. Maybe if I have to, one of next year's firsts. I mean, you want to be sure that Wentz is healthy.
Yeah, that's the biggest concern is health right there. But I don't think that Wentz – I don't think Philly's giving up Wentz unless they're getting a first-round pick of some sort, whether it's next year.
I think it's probably two. Maybe a first and second.
So second this year, first next year, or first this year, second next year?
I think it would be a first
and obviously, if you're trading for Wentz, you're committing to him as the guy at quarterback.
If you're trading for Wentz, I think you're either sending a first and second this year – or a first this year and a first next year.
Yeah. Not just a little hypothetical, which we'll obviously see when the option is either accepted or declined, which, like people say, Philly has a hell of a choice to make right now because let's say you lose Foles and then Wentz keeps getting hurt, you're ending yourself right there. So,
right. Or you send Wentz gets healthy and Foles goes back to being a little inconsistent.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's a catch-22 with either side, so... I would not want to be in their shoes right now. I would not want to be Howie Roseman.
But would you pay Foles if you're the Jags? And it's kind of like the thing with Flacco. It's going to be difficult, but would you do it?
The full 20 or his own deal?
Probably his own deal. Trading for him and paying him 20 is a lot more difficult, I think. But let's say they don't pick up the option and they let him test the market himself out of respect for him. Just to let him find his own starting job a little easier. What, and they very well might do that because they've got Wentz and they could say, you know what, you've helped us win at least one Super Bowl, maybe two if they win it out this year again. I mean, it's still probably expensive. I don't know about 20, but if he wants his own decently expensive deal, let's say at minimum like what Blake would make this year if he was still on the roster in terms of cap hit, which I think was the 16.5, would you do it?
If they miss out on – if this is – I'm going for – we'll see. That's why I hate that the draft is after free agency because really kind of precursors. If a team trades up and basically puts a stamp on the draft saying that the Jags will not get Dwayne Haskins, I'm okay with the Jags making a move to get Nick Foles, whether that be financially or cap space. If they think he is the guy – they think he can come in, win football games, and give you a Super Bowl caliber offense again, or come in and be that guy to make it a Super Bowl caliber offense, I say why not? What's the difference really? It's a gamble. The thing about the quarterback position, it's a gamble either way. You're gambling on a rookie if you get him. It's going to be cheaper, but you're still spending that first round pick, and you're gambling on this guy to be good. Or you're gambling on a guy, Nick Foles, who has the experience, is older, you're paying him more, but you know what he can bring to the table. So that's the risk with either one. You're risking it all, and I mean, I can't fault them for going either route, really, because either can fail just as easy as the other. So if they commit, I'm okay with it.
I agree in a sense that they have to know they're not getting Haskins. But I'm a believer in Haskins more so than I am a believer of Foles being a franchise QB and when it boils down to it. Even though Foles isn't old, I'll take the ceiling that Haskins has with his age and just having him be your long-term guy. That's how I view it. But speaking of Haskins, we'll talk about him and his big news when we come back from this quick break.
The NFL playoffs are here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your relatives or friends sit around watching the games. Not this year, when the 53rd Super Bowl is just around the corner. It really is the most wonderful time of the year. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win, ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props. Where you bet on is just as important as who you're betting with. And if you want to make money during bowl season, you got to go to MyBookie. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for bowl season. Just use promo code LOCKEDON when you deposit to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Remember, guys, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. At MyBookie, you play, you win. You get paid.
Dwayne Haskins is officially declared for the 2019 NFL draft. Jaguars fans are excited because they know that means the Jags are going to trade up and draft Drew Lock. But But in all seriousness, Jaguars have been to Ohio State a good amount this year, 5 times as far as I've been informed of. I think there's definitely going to be interest there. He's far and away the best quarterback in this draft. I'm not really here for any arguments otherwise. I don't think that they're very close whatsoever between him to Will Greer, Drew Locke. There's a substantial difference in talent and ceiling in the NFL. But Chris, a lot of other teams probably feel the same way that are in need of a quarterback. And I know you said there's not a ton that definitely need one. I think the Giants are one of those teams. I think, obviously, the Jags are one of those teams. I think Tampa is a dark horse. I think Oakland is a dark horse. I think Washington is a dark horse
because if the Buccaneers get Bruce Arians, I don't think they're getting a quarterback. That's...
We'll see. Yeah, no, because you said it to me today about how he's a fan of James
Winston. And Bruce, or in Arians' book, I forget what it's called, because Arians has always been known as a quarterback whisperer. In his book, his example, in this book, I don't know when it was written, but the example that was written about the perfect type of quarterback that Arians likes to take and develop and try to fix, his example was Jameis Winston. So that is literally like puzzle piece and puzzle piece. Arians is getting his project that he literally wrote a book, not maybe all about Jameis Winston, but in his book was the example of a guy he wants to develop, and he gets that guy. So to me, I couldn't see Arians taking over as head coach and then getting the guy that he's probably, that's probably the reason why Tampa wants him. They probably know this, that Arians would love to develop a guy like Winston. I just don't see them getting Arians and then justifying spending a first round pick, not trading up to get a quarterback. So you're spending more capital when you have a guy that Arians has said in the past he would love to develop. So if they get Arians, I think that takes Tampa Bay out of the quarterback market for at least this year.
And you very well might be right, but until that's solidified, I still...
Obviously, the NFL draft is weird, so...
Yeah, that's the thing, is it is weird. And that's why I view them, no matter what, as a dark horse, because Winston's going to be on his fifth-year option, too. I don't think he's getting any nice extension anytime soon. It's the last trial. They might say, hey, we also want to bring in a new QB, but we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm not going to rule them out as a dark horse. Washington, with the Alex Smith injury, he may not ever play again, in which case they don't have the money to afford paying someone like Joe Flacco after what they gave Alex Smith. Trading up, even though it might suck, might be what they have to do unless they want to settle for a quarterback like Will Greer or something. And they just might have to do that. Or Drew Locke, Daniel Jones, those types. Miami, who I mentioned earlier, could be a team that might want to move up. All of these are really dark.
I think the Bengals are a dark horse.
Maybe. That's the thing, is all these teams are dark horses other than the New York Giants. The Giants seem like they've got to do it.
Seem like they have to do it, but even then they seem to have committed to Eli for next year. So,
well, I don't think Gettleman has. I think Shurmur did because it was still in season. Gettleman, in his season-ending press conference, would not come down and say Eli's our quarterback, despite being asked a couple of times, like, literally, is Eli the guy? He wouldn't say yes. He kind of deflected. So we'll see. I also know the Giants were big fans of Herbert, so maybe they're not. I know they've been to Ohio State a couple times this year, not as much as the Jags, but they might be fans of Haskins. We're just not sure where they're at, but I think they're one of the teams that you don't consider a dark horse. You consider competition, in which case, what are the Jags going to do to ensure they were to get Haskins? What would you be comfortable with them doing?
What pick are we going to for Haskins?
That's my question to you. Where do you think they should go? What do you think that sweet spot is?
Two or three.
I broke down their options. I mean, they've got to get in front of New York and probably those other teams as well. The dark horses. Tampa is 5. Oakland's at 4. You got to get in front of all of them. The Jets are number 3. And if it's a lock that Arizona and San Francisco are staying home and taking defensive players right there, 3 makes sense because it's a cheaper trade up. And the Jets definitely need that type of, they need a refund, really, in a sense. Not a refund because they got Sam Darnold last year and they're confident in him. But they lost a lot of assets in that process. I think it was 3 or 4 second round picks. So they definitely need to regain some value.
And yeah,
I think
they got, because they got a second, they lost their second round pick for this year, but they got a third back for the Teddy Bridgewater trade. So, you're obviously giving them 7.
Right.
They're probably asking for two unless you want to give them both of your thirds. So first this year, definitely a first next year. There's almost no way you're moving up to the top three without giving up at least two firsts of some kind. So seven this year, 2020 first.
I actually don't know if they do have to give up a first to move to three. To two and one, yes. Especially with the talent that's going to be there. And that neither of those teams have lost much value recently. But
I mean, unless you send a player like Fournette or something.
Well, I don't see, as much as I like to think about that, how many times have we seen players involved in drafting trades? It just seems like, I mean, I would love it. Don't get me wrong. It makes it so much easier. You can get cheaper picks out of that and cheaper players on picks and stuff like that.
How many times have you seen a team, though, draft a player in the top five and then are willing to trade him a year or two later?
Yeah, no, that's definitely a fair point.
The Jags are in a very weird scenario right now where they have a lot of kind of players that you wouldn't have thought of a year ago would be available. Like a year ago, I wouldn't have even thought about the Jags would ever think about trading Fournette or Malik Jackson. Unless it was a cap casualty.
In a way that I'm looking at this from teal-colored glasses, I don't know how realistic this would be, but I would be all over this if it was definitely the first two picks were going to be defender, no trade out to the Jets, seventh overall, the Jags third, the early third, not Los Angeles's third, but the Jags third, next year's second and next year's fourth. What would you do? Would you send them that offer?
At this point, I'm almost committal to. You are definitely, you need a quarterback. The rest of your team, wide receivers you can upgrade. They're a dime a dozen throughout the draft.
Especially in this one. There's
especially
a lot of
in
value.
This draft.
But that's why I want to keep.
When your offensive line is healthy, they're a top 10 line. Defense, still full of ballers. You're not losing almost anybody there. All of your at least key players are almost staying. I think you have to do almost what it takes to get the guy that you want. Quarterback's the most important position.
I agree, and I know beggars can't be choosers, and at the end of the day, if they have to give up early picks this year, if they have to give up a two and a three as well as their seventh pick, even though because they have a second, third this year, then so be it, and I'm going to be fine with it. I would love to see a scenario
I think
where
if
they
you're
can
giving
hold
up-
on to day two, some at least like two of their three day two picks this year, because I do think right guard's a need, and I do think receiver or tight end's a need. And the day two is such a sweet spot for receiver this year, especially the type that they need, the big body contested guy. There's going to be littered with those guys on day two.
I think if you're giving up a 1, 2, and three this year, then there's no way you're giving up a first next year. So you're just saving your costs for next year, which, I mean, you know, it's hit or miss. I mean, I've advocated for kind of – I would rather trade future assets for now and then worry about that later. But obviously that's kind of a really bad mindset to have. But a 1, 2, and 3, that's kind of pushing the needle to a no for me. It would be different if we had like 2 twos and 2 threes, but you're basically eliminating yourself out of day two except for the very end of round three. So unless they like made another trade – unless – hear me out. You trade 1, 2, and 3 or whatnot, and then you still are able to trade like Fournette, Malik Jackson, or whatever to recoup a second or a third, then I'm all in. If you have a plan to get yourself back into day two, be my guest. Or if you can get an extra day two pick and then you trade them away, all for it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I like you said, even though I'm trying to, you know, keep as much value as I can. If they have whatever they have to do to get
you have to spend. There's no way you can win a trade by trading up.
And rather than putting themselves into further, you know, cap issues, even though they are good at moving cap around, I would 11 times out of 10 even send even some highly valued picks overpay either of those guys in the cap situation they're currently in. Because paying those guys is going to cost you. It is going to cost you probably Miles Jack. I don't think it costs you Yannick and Ramsey, but it costs you Miles Jack and maybe some other talented guys that you're trying to pay. it costs you from being able to pay any free agents in the foreseeable future. In the next 2 years, when this year you could draft Haskins and pay Golden Tate and probably get off with paying your three defenders from the 2016 class. So they're going to have decisions to make, but I would 11 times out of 10 send away some high picks, overpay those guys when there's a lot more to your roster than just a quarterback. I know it's such a like hypocritical thing for me to say when I say the quarterback position is everything, but I'm trying to look at it in both senses. And I think the best plan is just going up and getting your quarterback in the draft. I think that's what they have to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the, well, it'll be, that's all we'll be watching this offseason is seeing if they make that trade, and if so, how much.
Be sure to stick around this offseason. We're going to be bringing you all the Jags content that you need here at the Locked On Jaguars podcast and LockedOnJaguars.com. You can subscribe to the podcast anywhere. You can listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Megaphone. Anywhere you can hear them, you can hear us. And we'll catch up with you guys later.